This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Nick Markakis, it feels like they figured out this roster and they would have been just fine without him.
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
This is so frustrating.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We hope you're having a great Friday, heading into what is going to be a great weekend, we hope, for our Braves, Georgia, Alabama. We'll talk more about that and let you hear how Nick Saban is feeling as part of our top three at six. Brad Nessler joined the show yesterday, guys. He's got the call on CBS, SEC on CBS. We'll let you hear what Ness has to say about this Alabama offense. They are averaging a ton of points, and, you know, Kirby says it's nothing new. And I don't think he's wrong. I just think that whole brand, Mike, when you talk about what we think of Alabama, has always been defense. When, in fact, Tua and Jalen Hurts, they were putting up numbers too, you know?
Well, the thing is about this team, you know, it's different with Mac. It's kind of a throwback to, and again, kind of like McElroy and the other guys. Again, I don't say game manager because it's certainly more than that. And this guy's athletic as heck. But it's sort of like the Georgia defense going up against this big, massive Alabama offense, their ability to run the football. They've been putting up a ton of points. Do you trust the quarterback? Do you trust Stetson Bennett? We asked the question today, Carl. It was our poll question on Mike Bell ATL. It came down to 61.6% of our audience says UGA wins, better defense. 38.4 says Bama wins, better quarterback. That's the way I kind of, you know, framed it. But Bama's still a 4.5 point favorite on this one. Saban, again, depending on if they find a loophole in these rules and protocols, I don't know what's going to happen. But some Bama fans are taking it as gospel. He's going to be there. But what do you think? We're going to talk to Nessler coming up here in about 20 minutes. But what do you think? What's your gut tell you is going to happen on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa?
Well, first of all, I don't think that this is, and I know people are going to think that, you know, well, both of these defenses are really good. I think these offenses that we've seen are not a fluke. And you know, part of this is, and I want you guys to think about this too. There were no spring ball. There was no spring practices. There were no summer practices like normal, okay? When you got to camp, because of the protocols, there really wasn't a lot of hitting going on. And I'm saying all of this to go to get to the point of these defenses. It's not as if all these defenses are just that bad. I just think, Mike, the circumstances of this year is allowing us to see all of this scoring that's going on. And offenses have certainly changed. I mean, you know, I don't think we're going to see 9-6 games anymore. I just don't. You know, and if you do come across that, it's going to be an aberration. Right. So I think we're going to see some scoring in this game. The question becomes, what quarterback, in my opinion, whether it's Mac Jones or Stetson Bennett, makes mistakes? I think Bama's coming into this with a game plan of saying, he's a walk-on. I know he's looked poised. We're about to find out. We're going to hit him a couple of times. We're going to blitz him. We're going to see how he responds to some of this and whether he makes a mistake. And Stetson's got to stay poised enough to not just throw the ball out there and it's picked off, or try to escape when he should just take a sack and fumble. So those are the things that I'm looking for. And then on the Alabama side, for Georgia, you got to stop Harris. I don't care what anybody says. It starts and stops with Harris. So if you can control the running game, now the pressure's on Mac Jones to deliver the football down the field. And I think Georgia's DBs match up with these wide receivers.
Yeah, man, it's the great Georgia defense, you know, and we were talking all week about, hey, is this finally the time where Georgia has the better defense than Alabama? I think they do, but Alabama's offense is really, really good. So, yeah, man, who's going to be making the plays, the turnovers, the kicking game, all the little things which may come down to? I mean, the good news is two things, and I don't want to, you know, preface this like the loser mentality, you know, hey, if Georgia loses, but because of all the variables in the equation with this crazy college football year with COVID and the fact that, you know, Florida's already got a loss in conference, you know, there's a lot of chances that whoever loses this game is going to see this team again in the SEC championship anyway, right?
Yeah, I think
LSU's right. Knocked out of the box. Auburn's not going to be what we thought they were. Texas A&M is not going to compete with Alabama for this championship. That's a given. Everybody lost the head-to-head. So Alabama's going to be punching their ticket, but, you know, can Georgia beat Florida and get back there if they lose?
Yeah,
I think I'm just trying to give you.
Oh man, we got to lay out all the scenarios. I mean, when we say that they could lose, we can't act like that's not a possibility. It is. We're not wishing that, but I do think that we got to look at that.
But everything's ramped up, though. I mean, for instance, Stetson Bennett and the pressure he's handled. He rescues the team, comes to the rescue second half against Arkansas. Tougher the next week against Auburn. Tougher the next week against Tennessee. But then a galactic leap to what Alabama's going to throw at him.
Right, and that's kind of where we are. This is a much, forget that, this is the best team they have seen and may see all season long outside of either Clemson, and I still don't know what Ohio State is because they hadn't seen them, but everybody thinks that's going to be a team that you're going to have to deal with. It's Dukes and Bell, man. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, guys, let's start first with our Braves. And, you know, when you're talking about the Braves last night, it starts, right, with Bryce Wilson.
And strike three call. Strikeout number three. Eastern time. There's strike three. This kid, Bryce Wilson, four strikeouts in the ball game. 2-2. Ran around, struck out the side.
Yeah, that how about that, Joe Buck? How about that, Joe Buck, huh? How you like that, Joe Buck?
How you like them apples?
What a turn.
That was the top of the fifth. That was Bryce Wilson. Let's hear the final call, guys, because we win this game 10-2. If you didn't stay up for it last night, I know you might have gotten up this morning and went, yeah!
Ground ball to first, and that does it. Game four belongs to the Atlanta Braves, and this night, Thursday, October 15th, game four of this NLCS belongs to him. Bryce Wilson, who gets the win with six fantastic innings here in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, and so that ended, and I'm like, did he say that they're one away from the World Series? I'm like, did Joe Buck say they're just one win away from the World Series? I had to rewind that, Carl. I went back and I rewound it last night on the DVR. How about unbelievable with all the issues and pitching and getting a bad game last night, the Braves bounce back, and they're just one game away from the World Series, and they don't even know who's pitching tomorrow night. That's what his dad would have said, but Joe obviously can't handle his father's jock, so ugh. Joe Buck, I swear to God, I think even Smoltz, you listen to Smoltz in some of these conversations with Buck, he sounds like he's doing a hostage video.
You will say what we want you to
these
say.
These amazing Los Angeles Dodgers. I was never in Atlanta anyway. But it's, I know that I'm not the only Braves fan who feels that way. But again, let's just shut up Joe Buck and win it tonight.
Brian Snicker on Ronald Acuna. What happened to the wrist and how is he feeling? Here he is.
He feels good. I don't, you know, he landed on his wrist a little bit. It was just kind of an awkward cross in the bag. And it almost like he kind of looked up to see where the ball was and then got his steps screwed up. And we're fortunate we dodged that bullet right there because it was something that, you know, kind of he regrouped and was fine to go. So that was good.
Yeah, when that happened, I really didn't see what happened. He rolled over, and I was like, no, yeah.
It
doesn't it
looked
look
awful.
Like anything.
I mean, oh, because he was, but luckily he just bounced back. I guess he just was a, because you didn't know what body part hit. The knee landed funny, the elbow, the wrist. Luckily, though, he seems to be all right.
Yeah, man, good news. We will see tonight. It's Minter, guys, who will start. It's a bullpen game, meaning it could go many different ways.
Say it. Minter is coming. Say it.
Minter is coming. Let's hope so. What's going to happen with our Falcons? Ricardo Allen was asked about how do we find a way to get a win. Rico Allen. Oh, Well, all right. I'm sorry, Ken. Ken says I didn't tell him that one. I think I'm right. Either way, Ricardo Allen.
We haven't fully put it together in a full, you know, game yet, because it's not about doing it for one half. It's not about doing it for one quarter. It's not about doing it for 3.5 quarters. You got to do it for the full 4 quarters. And even if it's called to do for 5 quarters, you got to do that.
He's right, and we heard an interesting comment that D'Orlando Ledbetter had in the AJC talking to Dante Fowler, saying that, at least from his opinion and point of view, practice had a little more intensity, and that apparently Raheem Morris was making folks a little more uncomfortable. So I'm not going to go back on my diatribe about DQ, but it was interesting, and we'll see if they can put that to effort against Minnesota. Minnesota team, which is, again, they're hanging on by a thread for the playoffs.
Well, you guys heard my whole rant about love and the thin line between players and parents and how you treat your kids, all that applies. You got to feel some pressure. And I just don't know if these guys did. So let's hope that's the case with Raheem. I said it earlier today in our Falcon Report. I don't know what to expect. I really don't.
Hey, real quick, Tack McKinley is out for sure with a groin injury. Jason Butt, also from the AJC, says Julio Jones did not have an injury designation. Didn't practice today, but he was limited. But they believe he will play Sunday. So Julio back against the Vikings.
All right. Let's hear from Nick Saban. He is, this was on the Nick Saban show, okay? After he tested positive, today we found out he has tested negative. Mike laid out the SEC rules that should state that Saban should probably not be on the sidelines tomorrow if you've got to have 3 negatives within a, you know, 24-hour or 48-hour period or whatever it is. Either way, this is what he said on the Nick Saban show.
Doing great. I don't have any symptoms. I don't have a fever. You know, they do all those oxygen test and all that stuff, and everything's normal. So I feel great, don't have any problems, been able to do everything that I would do if I were working from here because of Zoom, whether it's be in the meetings, watch the film with the coaches, watch the practice film, have communication on the field that I can still correct players, you know, and the special teams meeting and the defensive meetings and offensive meeting after practice. So I've done everything that I would normally do. I just have to do it from here for now.
Is he on the sideline?
Well, I mean, that's where it gets a little nebulous, because it's supposed to be 24 hours from the last positive or negative test. He's got already two. He's already banked 2 negatives. He was talking about it last night on his radio show, saying, look, I mean, I can't believe the SEC won't let me coach on remote. You know, put me in an isolation booth somewhere and let me talk to my coaches. They don't have a rule in place for that.
Hey, the Mindcast email of the day, Janice hits us up. Janice, thank you for listening. She says, I thoroughly enjoyed the Braves last night. I love the Braves kicking the blank out of the Dodgers. More importantly, everybody doubting the Braves after we got blown out. Thank you guys for keeping it positive, because so many people around the country thought we were done after being embarrassed. Janice, thank you for listening. Today's show is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. Hear what Brad Nessler has to say about Alabama and Georgia next. Right now, we want to say good afternoon to the voice of the SEC on CBS. He is Brad Nessler. He's got the call, Georgia-Alabama, 2 versus 3. It doesn't get any bigger this part of the season, and everybody's looking forward to it. Ness, what's going on today?
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Good to be with you.
Good, man. I mean, how weird was it doing the broadcast? I mean, we haven't talked to you. We haven't debriefed since seeing you and Gary, doing your social distancing. But how funky is it doing it these days?
It's been weird. I know you texted me, I think it was last week, Mike, and we were kidding around about how far apart Gary and I are in the booth. And, it's never far enough for the bosses, so we just keep extending out. Actually, my spotter, Quint, wasn't in the booth with us last week. He was in a different booth, and we went to a backup plan and had a camera basically on our spotter boards. And so he was about 20 feet away from me, and that was a new twist that we had to try last weekend, just because not all booths are created equal, let's put it that way. So, and they're not like the NFL. I mean, sometimes you get a good one, and then sometimes you get one that's a little bandbox. And so everything's been strange, fellas. I mean, going to the stadium, not seeing tailgaters, 25 or 20% capacity, whatever, does not make the same kind of rumble You know, just big plays don't seem as exciting for some reason to us, whether it's a home team or not. So everything's strange. You can get to and from the stadium a lot faster. I'll say that much. That's maybe the only bright spot so far.
Brad Nessler, our guest, guys. Boy, I tell you, this Georgia team, and you've seen them the last few weeks, obviously, and, you know, Ness, the second half, I just thought it was very impressive to see that defense come alive. But really, you know, this Stetson Bennett kid, man, how poised has he been?
He's been really something. Had a chance to talk to him about half an hour last week on a Zoom, and I think he's still getting used to the spotlight, obviously, because he hasn't been in it unless you count the junior college in Ellisville, Mississippi, wherever that is, that he played for a year. But, you know, he's kind of getting used to the spotlight, the media, all that type of thing, and he's not as comfortable with that as, you know, Jake Fromm was this guy that came into meetings and just lit up the room, and you just had fun hanging around with him. And now we don't hang around person to person, so it's harder, I think, for the players sometimes to relate to what's going on as far as the questions we ask, all of that. But he was poised answering stuff, man, and you know, he was telling Gary that his dad would sit in the stands and always, for so many years before Scott Howard, you know, was Munson, and he said he always was the guy with the headphones on in the stands, and Gary took that to mean that he was muting Gary on the TV. Gary takes that personally, you know. So, so we had a good laugh about that one. But he's been really fun to watch. I mean, he adds a little dimension. He's got a little wiggle to him when he runs, and he's not afraid to stick his nose in there. Probably shouldn't sometimes. Probably should slide a little more often. But his passing's been good enough. Will it be good enough, you know, every week? We kind of say, well, yeah, but that was so-and-so. And then the next week you go, yeah, but that was – and then that was Tennessee. Well, now it's Alabama, and it's the bright lights, and it's, you know, the national game. And we'll see how he handles it on the road. Although not having 100,000 there, we'll see what he does.
It is, you've recognized the voice. It's Brad Nessler, guys, from the SEC on CBS with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I know they went to the air raid offense with Todd Monken, but I kind of feel, Carl and I were talking about this last week, that Stetson Bennett kind of fits the A.J. McCarron, Greg McElroy kind of vibe that Kirby wants anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they've changed that much, you know. I think with Todd coming in there, that was maybe a misconception that, you know, it was going to be throwing it all over the yard.
Right.
If they, you know, They might have had it been Jamie Newman, but it's not. And, you know, it's Stetson Bennett's show right now. And I don't think that their offense is that much different. I kind of looked at last week and I thought, you know what? They didn't do a very good job on the ground. And then, you know, I got home that night or got up the next day, whatever, and looked at the stats. And I go, really? They had 200 yards on the ground and they lost about 40 yards on that bad snap on the second play of the game. I thought, man, where did the yardage come from? And then I started adding it up and looking at it. I go, well, Zamir had 50, and you know, Kenny McIntosh had 45, and Kendall Milton probably had the best game. And I went, well, they did have a pretty good day on the ground, you know. So I think it's still Georgia, you know, run the ball and then throw, hopefully, when the other team doesn't think you're going to, or throw when you have to. So I don't see that much difference in it so far, and maybe it'll get there. You know, he's playing with a guy that's 5'11", 195 pounds, sopping wet, but he's got a pretty good arm. So hopefully they have more offense because they're going to need it eventually. Even though, you know, 44 points is no slouch, but a lot of that came from the defense last week.
Right.
It is Brad Nessler, guys, talking about the game this weekend, Dogs in Alabama. Matt Jones, Najee Harris. Harris had 200 yards against Ole Miss. Now, I know that's not the Georgia defense, but let's talk about how good this Alabama offense is. Ness, you've seen some really good offenses, including last year with LSU. Is this offense as good as that one?
I don't know if anything's that good, Carl, because the guy pulling the trigger last year had so many weapons and he knew exactly what he was doing. That's not to say Mac doesn't. I think he's played really well. I mean, we saw that last year when he took over for Tua when he was hurt, that he was no slouch. And I've seen him for 4 years at practice in the Alabama facility, and I'm like, who's this guy, you know? Well, he wasn't as highly recruited as all the other ones. Yeah, but watch him throw and watch the decisions he makes. He hasn't made many bad ones so far, I know that, you know. He's only had one interception so far, and he's completing 80% of his balls, and I think his pass efficiency is the best in the country, so... he knows exactly what he's doing with it. He knows the weapons he has. You know, they lose two guys to the NFL who were really super receivers, but Devontae Smith, I always thought he was maybe the best of the group. Maybe not the fastest, maybe not the best route runner, but graceful-wise, he's like Lynn Swann to me, sort of, and my old partner Swanee. I mean, he just gets it done. And Waddle is as fast as anybody in the world. And then, you know, we saw John Metchie in the game we did against Texas A&M become an instant star with 180 yards receiving, whatever it was. So they're really good. I mean, they're as good as they've been on offense. I know that the passing maybe doesn't look as flashy because Tua was so instinctive, and he just let it rip. But Mac kind of plays to what they give him, and I think he runs the offense just as well as Tua did. So they're really good. And Najee Harris is a stud, man. I watched Derrick Henry for that stiff arm the other night, and I wonder if he taught Najee Harris any of that stuff, because Najee runs kind of that way too, and right. He's just getting warmed up. And, you know, Georgia's not going to hold him. He can get 38 yards in one carry, and that's what Georgia's given up on the ground so far per game. So something's got to give.
It is Brad Nesser with us, guys. He'll have the call, of course, the biggest stage over in Tuscaloosa on CBS. Prime time. We talked about your how you present the stuff now with COVID. So what do you make of this Saban test? And as we said, he makes in-game adjustments. He's yelling at coaches. I mean, he's not a CEO. He is active out there.
Yeah, and he can't do anything about it because there's rules against that. So it's Sark's show to run now. I mean, Nick can talk to the team up till the 90-minute meeting with the refs, is what I understand anyway. He can be Zooming to practice, and he can be Zooming up to 90 minutes before the game, but then it's Steve Sarkisian's show to run. So it's going to be weird. I think the weirdest part, I told my wife and daughter last night, I said, well, this is great. Now Nick's going to be home watching the game. Trust me, he has never listened to us do a game, I'm sure. He watches coaches film. He doesn't listen to the two jabronis up in the booth, so... That's going to be interesting when my phone rings when I'm on the way home Sunday to listen to what he's got to say to me. But, you know, it's going to be weird. I just wish all hands were on deck, including especially maybe the best coach that's ever coached anybody. So it's going to be kind of weird just to look over on the sideline and not see him running up and down with his hands up in the air and showing his headset. It's going to be a little different.
No doubt about it. Ness, as we talk about, you know, this game, I mentioned this to Coach Dooley, and I know that you watching Georgia and doing these Georgia games, you know, Rodrigo Blankenship, he was pretty damn good. But this kicker for Georgia has shown that he can be pretty, you know, good from distance as well. Does this thing come down to a special teams play like that, a last-minute field goal?
If it does, I got all the faith in the world in Podlesny. As somebody said to me, a friend of mine, Podlegny. So, you know, the leg came through. I mean, we got to get him a nickname somehow, you know. When you come through Hot Rod and you get all that stuff going on, and we got to get some kind of nickname for him. Yeah. I hope it's that close, Carl. That would be awesome. If it's number two and number three, if it's a game we think it would be, special teams would be awesome. But if it's a special teams punt, A, for Georgia, don't fake it. And
yes,
B, don't kick. I'm getting booed right now by the Georgia fans. And B, don't kick it to Jalen Waddle. So if it's a punt, that's not good. If it's a kick, that might be good.
You know what, Carl, how we always asked, like, Vern back in the day, and we had Ness has done it for us. Yeah, when Pud comes out, and here comes the Pod Whacker for the Georgia Bulldogs. Or not. We'll leave it at that. All right, brother. We'll all be watching. Everybody will be watching. And have fun, man.
Hey, we will do our best. I'm about a third of the way to Titletown right now. So I'll let you guys know when I arrive safely.
Ness from yesterday, Carl, right here on Dukes and Bell.
No doubt. And, you know, how fortunate is he? He gets to see and call all these games up close and personal. I know, again, it's not the same with no, you know, packed house in Tuscaloosa. But it's still a big atmosphere, man, and we've seen it already with college football this year. So I'm anticipating a great game. I can't wait till tomorrow night and seeing how Georgia handles this schedule. We talked about it. If this run, Mike, Auburn, Tennessee, check, check. Alabama, check. The next big check would be Florida, and you write your own ticket, bro. You write your own ticket.
So, again, guys, and by the way, Brad's always the best. That would be funny. Podwacker. Just a thought, man. Just a thought, bro. Remember we used to have Vern? A couple guys hit us up. One guy, it's funny, was joking around with me today on Twitter about it. So what were those words you guys used to get Vern to say? Remember he said smorgasbord for us one year? Oh, yeah. He said slobber knocker. He said...
We just throw stuff out there, and he'd be like, I'll find a way to get it in, guys.
First time we did it, I think it was when Urban Meyer was still down there, and Georgia had a two-point conversion. He's like, not exactly a smorgasbord of options for Georgia here. It always makes me laugh. You know, because you're like Peter Griffin on Family Guy. Whenever he sees a movie and they actually have the line from the movie in it, this drug lord represents a clear and present danger. And then Peter goes, he said it. He said it. All right, Carl, I got a fun one for you tonight for Game Winner. Last night, my mother-in-law rolled in with my aunt, and I got a great mother-in-law. I really do. Everyone bellyaches about their mother-in-law. Mine is great. She got me one of those mini arcade games, Carl. It's a desktop Pac-Man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I put the pictures up at Mike Bell ATL, and I got like 100 likes on it, and guys are like, where do I get one? I think she got it on QVC. So, Carl, let's take you back to the arcade for millennials. I'm not talking about a video game you play, you know, at home. I'm talking about you had to go to the arcade, maybe for some of the older guys out there. Your favorite video game, 404-741-0929. I was a Pac-Man guy. What were you, Carl?
Galaga. Street Fighter. Nice. I mean, yeah, man. And I'll tell you when we come back. But recently, I want to say before the pandemic hit, we went to an arcade, an actual arcade up in Kennesaw, which is really cool.
All right, man. So with us, David Buster's been. What's your favorite video game? 404-741-0929.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, guys, your favorite video game, but we're talking about you actually at an arcade, okay? Wait, so that's Dave and Buster's, as Carl said, that you went to a real arcade. Pretty cool, man. My mother-in-law last night, they made a pit stop on their way down to Florida, and coming down from Pennsylvania, she got me this arcade game. And it's got Galaga on it, too, Carl. It's got two games.
Old school.
It's got Pac-Man. Becky's got, she got one, too. So when I have my man cave down there in Coweta, coming up in about 2 weeks, I'm going to have like my little video arcade. I'm going to have a drum set. Dude, I'm 12 years old all over again.
It's great, man. I the arcade for me, and when I met my wife, actually, probably before, she would tell you that, like, if I wasn't, that was like my release, Mike, going to the arcade, and I could spend hours. I know, like, a lot of guys, man, I could spend hours in an arcade. I love the old games. You know, the games now for, like, Xbox and whatnot, they're so just technologically advanced to what we used to have, but there's nothing like playing an old school arcade game, man. There just isn't. Nothing comes close.
The football game that had like the rolling ball that you'd play with X's and O's going down the field, and you'd be your hands would be calloused, like you couldn't even like hold a fork or a knife. We used to play those for hours at Sunrise Mall in Massapequa.
This is crazy though, and guys can attest to this. Like the hot games would have. You'd have two and three people deep watching and waiting to get a chance to play who was ever running the table at that point.
Right, and like Wreck-It Ralph, everyone have their quarters lined up. Ready to go. So let's see if we can find some guys that actually do the arcade thing or remember from way back when. I've got a Pac-Man. Hey, man, what you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So this is a very unique one. So this thing was called the Gundam Battle Pod, which was only made in Japan. But they had them in America during those anime conventions they have here in Atlanta.
Wow. So what's it like?
Well, yeah, it was like a small little arcade machine. It was like a whole virtual pod. And you get to pilot a big robot and shoot people with it.
Leave it to the Japanese. I used to love the driving games that had the cockpit. You would actually sit in the leather seat, Carl. They actually had leather seats. Remember those things?
Oh, yeah.
And you would sit down and they have a real gas pedal. Oh, when I was a little kid, it was the best, Jerry.
You thought it was as close to driving as you could get.
Yeah, Spy Hunter or Spy Chaser?
Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, love that, too. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for video games in the arcade?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
All right, so I got three games for you. Tekken, NFL Blitz, and NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
He's heating up. Yeah, when I went to the arcade, I think I talked about this a while back when she took me. I think it was for my birthday, I want to say.
Right.
But she took me, and I didn't know about it. And you pay, like I said, a certain fee. Oh, I don't know, Mike, 10 or 15 bucks, maybe 20 bucks. And you get to play any game
right
in the arcade. that you want. So it's one of those things like you don't have to continue to put quarters in. But I played NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. NBA Jam was so much fun, man.
The best. If you couldn't make it to the mall in my neighborhood, the 7-Eleven had the Mike Tyson punch out. And literally, same thing, Carl. Quarters lined up. Kids be out there on their BMX bikes waiting to play the Mike Tyson. Glass Joe, poof, knock him out. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Man, they used to have this one game I used to play. It was called Narc. You're like, I'm not down with the popo, but they had the DEA agents and used to, like, kill junkies and prostitutes and shoot them up and stuff.
So it's kind of like Vice City is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Well, that's very nice. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. An arcade game you used to love. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I'm going to have to go with Mortal Kombat here.
Mortal Kombat.
Finish him.
Battle.
Oh, that was the best. Yeah, Punch-Out. Later it became Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. But Glass Joe, he was from France. Then you had Bald Bull. Remember that, Carl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sat for hours trying to get past those levels, man.
Oh, too funny. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for arcade games you loved as a kid?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So, y'all remember NFL Blitz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you remember that? It was like, you just like cheap shot, like the players and everything before you even got caught the ball?
Yes.
That was so funny.
It was the best, man.
Gold. Hey, by the way, some confusion about Nick Saban. Some people are saying there's no way Nick Saban could have the 24-hour period, Carl, from his third positive. I'm reading some columns now and the comments that are coming out from so-called health experts. Well, again, I'm not sure what the SEC's rules are about, but some people are saying Saban will not be on the sideline when the Dogs play against the Tide in Tuscaloosa. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your arcade game of choice?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, didn't Byrne throw out a shenanigans on one of the shows?
He did. It was usually the Georgia-Florida game that Vern would, but that was always our go-to, Carl, for getting Vern to say something.
My old school game was Defender and Track and Field.
Ooh, Defender.
Oh, Defender was killer. Remember when you had the caves in Defender?
Wait a minute, though. He just said Track and Field. Boy, you got me thinking about how hard I used to. Hold on, let me get the microphone down here. You get your thumb. You're trying to get it going, and then you hit that jump button. Oh, track and field was it.
And that's, you actually had to have cardiovascular skills, Carl, to play some of these video games.
It was track and field, man. That was a great game.
I mean, I know they have like the dancing games and stuff when you go to like Dave and Buster's and stuff, but I'm telling you, man, you could walk, Carl, out of the arcade back then needing medical attention when you were a child.
You were exhausted.
Hey, man, it's our game winner tonight. What do you got for us, bro?
Yo!
Hey, man!
Killer Instinct!
Killer Instinct.
Oh, my.
Good call, man. Yeah, and for those who remember Killer Instinct, that was the one. It was basically, it was kind of like Mortal Kombat, wasn't it, in its own way? Because you had like, they had like assassins and stuff. And that one, it's on Xbox now, but we're talking about back, I guess it was a video arcade game, right?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Because it's rated mature on the Xbox, I know that. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
Look here, Chief. It got to be Centipede. I'm telling nobody to say. I sit there and just roll that little ball all night long.
Dude, Centipede, Missile Command, Carl. That was my. I still play Missile Command on my own computer. I love that stuff, man. The old Atari, but in the video arcade, yeah. When Atari first came out, it was like, oh my god, all that stuff. Yeah, without spending, you know, without Dad, can I borrow $2? Get a job. You know, that's how you get your paper out so you can get some quarters. That was my old man. I'm like, Dad, I want Levi's. I don't want Toughskins. Get a job. You know, I was like 11. All right. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
You
know, I wish I remembered the name of it. I don't. Maybe if I describe it, you guys will know it. But it was a golf game. And it had the ball where you could
Golden Tee.
You would spin it backwards.
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah. Golden Tee.
I don't know, because you could spin it backwards to control how hard you were going to hit it, you know, with the club. You could hook it to it. You could hook
yes.
it. You could
spin it.
You could backspin. You could put backspin on the ball.
No, I know. It's Golden Tee. I'm looking at it right now. You can get one on Amazon for $3,700, Carl.
Yeah, the full game. The big game.
The big game. Yeah. Wait, hold on. Walmart's got a smaller one for $2.99.
Golden Tee?
Yeah. Wow. I may have to. Hey, Becky. We have to get this in the man cave, too. Get on it. Hey, man, it's our game winner tonight. We're talking about video arcade games. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got two for you. One, you could never go wrong with a Pac-Man.
Right on.
Never. Miss Pac-Man was my game, but no doubt, Pac-Man.
And then Street Fighter.
Oh, Street Fighter's the best.
My game, man.
It's the best. Mortal Kombat
Fireball!
Was great.
It's the best, bro.
Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. You know, you couldn't go wrong with that stuff, man. Finish him on Mortal Kombat. All right, we got time for one more. By the way, Ken posted, Ken Roundtree, who's engineering today, Ross Newhan, who used to write for the LA Times, baseball writer, and Ken retweeted it. He says, quote, the Dodgers may still avoid another postseason failure, but this year's excuse is already building. Alex Wood said it. Dave Roberts echoed it. It seems they've played so many postseason games, they become stagnant, and they find it difficult to get up for them.
Excuses.
Is that the most California soft stuff you ever heard in your life?
Excuses.
The Dodgers are the antithesis of LeBron and the Lakers, aren't they?
No doubt. I mean, they got all the talent. They got all the money spent on all the talent.
Look, Clayton Kershaw, he was a poster boy for that last night. Let's hope we can handle our business tonight. Again, it'll be our guy AJ Minter going up against that big redheaded freak Justin May. One more. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us for video games from the arcade?
What?
He's actually at an arcade right now, Carl, on a flip phone. Thank you, sir.
What?
Here you go. It's we don't want to end on that note, but we must go. I've been told by Ken we're out of time.
All right, man. Let's get out of here. Clear out, throw.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for...
Let me clear my throat.
Thanks to all of our guests. Charles Barkley stopped by. Check out the vodka, man. Redmont Vodka. Charles now owns a distillery. He told the whole story. Go check it out at radio.com. Dave Archer joined us to talk about the Falcons. We talked to our man Joe Patrick about the Braves. Can they get it done this weekend? More importantly, tonight. I mean, you got a shot to finish this thing tonight. We also talked to Steve Coonan. Thanks to all of our guests. Again, all on radio.com. Monday, big show. Be here. What's Georgia do against Alabama? And are we talking about our first World Series appearance since 95? Let's hope so. Hey, man, Ken, great job for stepping in today. Bo Morgan, executive producer Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Actually, that was 2000. Actually, 99 against the Yankees, Carl. It was a sweep. Hey, man, we got some news that more stuff with the COVID in the NFL. Patriots canceled practice in the latest COVID disruption. We've talked about the Falcons. We had personnel guy, wasn't an actual player. But now we're finding out also the Browns apparently have issues. They don't have Baker Mayfield right now. He's in the COVID-19 protocols. Carl, that is huge for fantasy owners and for the Browns who got off to a red-hot start. And I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or next week, but are we going to see the NFL have to go to some form of a bubble? It's been cost prohibitive so far, but you can't keep messing with the schedule, can you?
No, and time's going to run out. I mean, you can't keep extending it. Hey, bad news for Nick Saban if he loses. Saban has won 21 straight against former assistants. Guess what? Kirby is one of those guys. They'll play Saturday. Don't know if Saban's going to be on the sidelines or not, but here's the deal. Sark's going to oversee operations, but remember, guys, if Saban is not on the sideline, that doesn't mean that it doesn't go on his record. 2013, Minnesota had an issue with Jerry Kill. He was sidelined for 7 games. All 7 games went on Kill's record. Mike Norvell just lost to Miami this year, sidelined because of COVID-19. It's on his record. Even if he's not on the sideline, Nick, it's going on your record. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
First off, let's go Braves. And secondly, Burger Time finally opened up, but you're out of quarters.
Back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.